The Judd Spotlight, Episode 21. Hey, Jet Spotlight fans, how's it going? It's your host here, Yanni Lunga from the JetSpotlight.com. I hope you're having a great summer, or if it's winter where you live, then I hope your winter is going well and hopefully it's not too cold. Here with another episode of the special edition of the Jet Spotlight podcast. You probably remember last week there was a special edition of the podcast with stars from the 2014 edition of the Pori Jets Festival. And I said that the special edition was going to be only last week, but there were so many great guests that it wasn't possible to staff them all last week. So here it is with these two more episodes, one today and one tomorrow, with two great guests that I'm really happy to have on the show. The first one that we have here is probably the one you think of when you think of modern performer. He's a singer. He plays instruments. He has his own jazz show on BBC Radio 2. He has been nominated to several music awards, and he was also nominated to a Golden Globe for the song Gran Torino of the, you know, the movie you're probably thinking about it now. Of that movie, Clint Eastwood, Gran Torino. You know, I'm super excited to have none other than Jamie Cullum here on the Jazz Spotlight podcast to talk about, you know, his starts, the Jets influences, so some of the Jets artists who have influenced Jamie, to talk about his latest album Momentum, his future, and he's also gonna give out some advice to those who would like to follow his footsteps and become performers, and also to those who would like to become Jets pianists. Jamie shares some names to listen to and what records to listen to. Like always, I want to remind you that you can find the links to all the great things we talk about in this episode at thejetspotlight.com/episode21. Here is a Jets talk with Jamie Cullum. Enjoy! Hey Jets Spotlight fans, how's it going? It's Jani Lunga here from the Pori Jets Festival in Pori, Finland. I did it again. I have another great guest here. I'm really excited about him. It's really difficult, you know, where to start to introduce this guest because, you know, he's set to perform here in about an hour, more or less. And, you know, it's one of the headliners and, you know, he's been nominated for a Grammy, for a Golden Globe in the UK. You know, he's just an amazing guy. When you think about a performer, that's the person we have here. He's like an artist. He has his radio show on BBC Radio 2. He's also guest director at the Cheltenham Jazz Festival. It's with great pleasure that I welcome on the show Jamie Cullum. Hey, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you? What a nice introduction. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'm happy to have you here on the podcast and looking forward to hearing you. It's going to be my first time, so I'm really excited about that. What can the Pori fan expect from the concert?
Well, I don't always know what I'm going to play, so I try to kind of keep it open. I walk on stage, maybe I'll know what I'm going to play first, but then I'm not sure what comes after that. So I can't work out yet whether they're going to be a kind of sleepy Saturday afternoon crowd or whether they want some high energy stuff. So I'll work it out when I get up there.
I'm sure that you know that they're gonna wake up even if they might be sleepy. And, you know, I want to start to talk about Momentum, your latest album, the sixth album, because it's incredible to think how you got started with your first album, Heard It All Before, in 99, that you produced with about £500. And now, you know, you're like internationally acclaimed artist, nominated for many awards. You know, what would you tell to people who would like to follow your footstep and, you know, by hearing this story that, you know, you started like a regular guy and now you're, you know, a great performer?
I think it's, you know, for me, I just always love to play music. I know that sounds obvious, but I started playing I didn't even think it would be my career. I started playing because I love to play, and I've tried to never leave that behind. You know, when I made that album, it's because I wanted to make a record of how I sounded at the time. It wasn't even, I didn't send it to record labels. It wasn't my demo tape to see if I could get signed. It was just something I made. And I try to keep that spirit going through everything I do, every show, every album. Yes, of course, I now record for a major label and there's more expectation, but I always just try to record something I like that I think is is accessible but also musically adventurous. Mm-hmm. And I try and use my kind of background as a jazz musician to make inventive pop music, really. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, in some ways how bebop got started in a funny way.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about jazz, who are those who have inspired you growing up, musically speaking?
Well, very early on, the first person I saw play the piano and sing live was Harry Connick Jr. And yeah, he's not only a great musician, but an amazing performer. I saw him perform. It wasn't even the big band stuff. It was his New Orleans funk stuff and his Thelonious Monk piano trio stuff. And to me, that was really cool. I wasn't really interested in the big band thing. I thought that was for my mum, you know. Mm-hmm. But the New Orleans funk stuff that was thrown in with jazz, I was really blown away by. And through him, I kind of got into Bill Evans and Thelonious Monk and Herbie Hancock. I discovered through listening to hip-hop music. Mm-hmm. A lot of those Blue Note guys, you know, Lee Morgan and Donald Byrd. And they were all breaks from Tribe Called Quest records and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I kind of have this part of me wants to be this kind of crooning piano player with beautiful chords, and the other part, you know, still wants those beats and those hooks that you get from mm-hmm. hip hop and things like that.
Okay. And, you know, for those young artists who, you know, would like to follow your footsteps, or people who are studying piano, you know, to become jazz pianists, are there a couple of names that you think are a must, or a couple of records you think every inspiring jazz pianist should listen to?
Sure. I think, you know, there are very many. I think one of the most amazing piano performances, I think, in terms of understatement and sheer beauty, is the piano accompaniment Bill Evans gives Tony Bennett on the duo album they made. Tony Bennett and Bill Evans album, it's called. It's 8 standards, but Bill Evans' piano accompaniment on that is pretty hard to beat, I think. Mm-hmm. And maybe another record, maybe something a bit more under the radar, something really adventurous like Dewey Redmond's World Organic Music Society. Mm-hmm. Just an amazing mixture of soul and beats and world music and jazz, and something really experimental, but nonetheless something that sounds really modern today, you know. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, talking about modern, it's pretty interesting, you know, background story about Momentum, because as House Demo Blueprint, you used iPhone apps, cassettes, recorders. Can you tell us a little bit more about that decision? Why did you kind of use pretty much everything there was to use?
I don't make decisions. I just let things happen, really. I think that's the secret. Before I knew it, I was making the record and I was using all these things at my disposal. And that's just because my life had changed a bit. I had less time and I have 2 kids now. And so I'd grab the moment. And sometimes the simplest thing, as we are doing right now, is recording things on your phone. And, mm-hmm. you know, these days you can do this to quite a high level, and sometimes you can end up using these things. And sometimes getting that first inspiration is the best part.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, you know, now we mentioned iPhone apps. Is, for example, one app that you use when you're touring, because you're touring so much, you've been performing all over the world. Is there one app that, you know, you kind of cannot live without, especially when on the road?
Well, I think the great thing about these apps is that they're quite cheap and they're coming out all the time, so you can always spend like £1 or £2 mm-hmm. and you can have something new to inspire you. But all the Korg ones are amazing. The iPoly 6, the iMS 20, I play around with those a lot. Mm-hmm. I just got the iMPC, okay. which is like a digital version of the MPC. That's great. But I think the one I've used the most is iMachine. It's been out mm-hmm. for 2 or 3 years, and I've used that there are songs on the last album Momentum which have directly used that little app. So,
and you know, you are like performer, you have your own weekly jazz show on BBC Radio 2, you have been guest director at Cheltenham Jazz Festival. You know, what do you think is the key to become a performer, a 360 degrees performer like you are?
I think you have to take inspiration from all around you, and I think, you know, if you're interested in jazz but you're also interested in kind of being a performer as well, that they can sometimes be two slightly different things, because often a jazz musician, you know, it's all about the music, and actually performance sometimes is not first and foremost in their minds. And you see, I grew up watching Dave Brubeck and Sonny Rollins and Ben Folds Five and Jeff Buckley and Radiohead and things, and there's an element of performance to it which brings the audience in. And I went to see Sonny Rollins, and mm-hmm. he is all about the music, but he's performing too. There's no question. There's something about what he does where he's like, there's an audience here and I'm going to play to them, even though the music is totally uncompromising. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's sometimes a dirty word to say when you're a jazz musician, but it is worth thinking about the audience too. Doesn't mean you have to play something different. It just means try and draw them in somehow. Maybe just think of something.
And the last question, what are your plans for the second part of the year of 2014?
I have a new album coming out in October, which is actually a jazz standards album.
So this is just perfect timing for the interview. Jamie Cullum, thank you so much for being on the Jazz Spotlight podcast. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, everybody, we are back. First thing first, Jamie Cullum, if you're listening to the podcast, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I really love this interview. I think there was a very good spirit in the interview. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I hope you had enjoyed your performance at Polyjazz. I was there. I really liked it. It was actually my first time listening to Jamie Cullum live. So it was a great experience, you know, on a personal level. We've talked about so many great things. Jamie has talked about some of the Jazz artists. Those who would like to become pianists should listen to. He has given out some advice, and he also talked about some apps, some of his favorite apps. And that's something I want to talk about for a moment. If you're new to the Jazz Spotlight, maybe you don't know that there is a resource page of the Jazz Spotlight. If you go to thejazzspotlight.com/resources, you will see the resource page there. And you know, there, these are some of the resources I talk about in the newsletter. I give special tips. And if you're new to the newsletter, you can sign up for free to the weekly newsletter at thejazzspotlight.com/toolbox. And you will receive also a free ebook that talks about online promotion. And you will get some special tips that I share only on the newsletter. And yeah, I mention some of the resources on the resource pages. I mention them on the newsletter, but guess what? On the newsletter, I also talk about some tools that can really help you in your music career that are not mentioned anywhere else on the website. So if you want to learn more about those, you have to sign up at thejazzspotlight.com/toolbox. Now, back to the resources pages of the Jazz Spotlight. So there you find different kind of resources that I've been using during this time with the Jazz Spotlight, from, you know, things you can use to build a website if you don't have a website yet, or you want to change the design of your website. There are tools you can use, or the places you can go to look for if you want to hire someone to redesign your website or do some video editing for your latest video clip. You know, all kinds of freelancers you might need. There are some tips about that. And there are also some tools you can use if you already have a website. There are tools mentioned, for example, to showcase your music or to build a newsletter, a feature that, you know, many people say that it's probably one of the most important features online. And I agree with that. And what else is there? Oh yeah, and some tools you can use to monitor the activity on your website. So to see what is going on, how many visitors you get per day, where people are clicking, all kind of resources. If you want to learn more about this, just head over to thejazzspotlight.com/resources. So now a hint about tomorrow. The guest I have here, how can I even refer to him? Simply put, he's legendary. And if you're into jazz, and perhaps you play bass guitar, then you have heard of him, 100%. You want to learn more about that? Then you have to tune back tomorrow. I'm Yanni Lunga, and this is the episode 21 of the Jazz Spotlight podcast. Have a great day.